Welcome to Radio at Firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters. Firehouse.com brings you the leaders of the nation's fire, rescue, and EMS services, the top columnists and educators, and today's most important issues, headlines, and comments. Listen right on your desktop or download and listen on the go to Firehouse.com.
Welcome to the Firehouse Magazine Insider Podcast for the April 2009 edition of Firehouse Magazine. Today we are here with author Bill McGraw, a columnist with the Detroit Free Press, and he takes a very touching look at the Detroit Fire Department, starting on page 70 of the April edition of the magazine. The story is titled, Detroit, Tough Times, Tough Town, Tough Firefighters. Bill, welcome. Thank you for joining us. And can you tell us a little bit about your background in Detroit with the Free Press and in your time covering the fire department?
Sure. Thanks, first of all, for having me. I've worked at the Free Press for 32 years, and for much of that time, I'd say the last 25 years, off and on, I've written about the Detroit Fire Department. I have a job now. I write a column called Motor City Journal, and it's about a wide variety of things, but I've really never stopped paying attention to the fire department for a lot of different reasons. And for one, it's interesting and it's newsworthy, but I've really come to know a lot of firefighters in Detroit, and they are up against some very unusual odds here because of the financial crisis the city has been in for many years. And so it's something that's been, you just can't leave behind, really.
Okay, and you talk about the financial crisis. The story is based a little bit around the tragic death of firefighter Walt Harris last year. And really, the city of Detroit, that we hear about it on the news every day, the story really focuses on the tragedy of Detroit, the loss of the industry there and how it's affecting everybody. And obviously the firefighters are, you know, out every day fighting fires. The fire department's not the same as it was just a couple of years ago with cuts. What is the biggest challenge that the fire department is facing, the Detroit Fire Department is facing these days?
Well, it's probably that they have a lot of fires and not enough firefighters. And, for instance, I think I put in the article in the magazine that 50 years ago, when Detroit was had twice as many people, almost 2 million people in the city itself, and it was a much more vibrant city. It was before the cuts really came to the manufacturing sector of America, and especially the auto industry. And so there were a lot fewer fires, too, but Detroit had 101 fire companies. Now, there's in these days, in the last several years, and it's true over the last probably two decades, there's been anywhere from 2 to 3 times as many fires as there would have been back then. But today, Detroit has 66 fire companies. And then every day, because of manpower and budget reasons, they've got to deactivate on a daily basis up to 11 companies. So on some days, on most days, there's only about 60 fire companies, almost half of what there were 50 years ago when there were many fewer fires. And I think that kind of simple stat says a lot about the kind of work that the firefighters in Detroit are doing these days.
And from different folks I've heard from that that spend time there, it's not uncommon for Detroit companies to respond to 10 fires a day throughout the city. That's just staggering. In 2009, when fires are down across the country, Detroit still is going every day, and they're not room of contents fires. They're true, legitimate structural fires.
So. Right, exactly. Well, one of the problems, of course, when a city, I mean, you can imagine New York City with 4 million people instead of 8 million. Million people, what it would look like. So Detroit had almost 2 million people, and now it has under 1 million people. So there's a huge number of abandoned structures and vacant structures. No one really knows exactly how many, but the you know, the best estimates are somewhere between 50 and even 80,000 empty buildings. And those burn for a number of reasons. Sometimes it's criminal. Someone uses fire as a way of getting back at someone. Sometimes it's insurance fraud. Sometimes it's accidental fires in the sense of homeless people who are squatting, trying to keep warm or cooking. So there's a lot of reasons that go into the kind of the pathology of Detroit that end up, that result in things burning and that create a big load for the fire department. And then there's just the average average, your normal fires, electrical fires and the kind of fires you would have in a what is still a big city. Detroit's still the 11th biggest city in the country. And but it's also, of course, got a lot of poverty, and people are using implements they maybe shouldn't be for heating and things like that. So there's a lot of reasons why there's a lot of fires in Detroit, and most of them have to do, I believe, with Detroit's economic crisis.
And you mentioned the staggering number, somewhere between 50 and 80,000 vacant buildings. Your story says that about six of the line of duty deaths in Detroit are from occurred at buildings that were vacant or unoccupied. Has the fire department embraced any sort of policy that deals with operating in these types of structures that you're aware of? Have they, stepped up their response and their safety attitudes towards the vacant buildings at all?
Well, that's a good question, and it's a bit complicated, I think. One reason, first of all, I don't think there is any department-wide policy right now. In many neighborhoods in Detroit, even though there's a lot of houses that have been torn down over the last 40 years, there's a lot of vacant land, but many of the older neighborhoods are very crowded. And so if there's an abandoned house on fire, obviously there's a problem with or a potential problem with exposures and things. And also the firefighters find more and more that homes that look in every way abandoned have someone living in it because they're homeless and they're squatting in there. And as I think I quoted one firefighter saying, we often roll up and see people running out the back. And they're not running because they set the fire or they set it on purpose. They're running for their lives, of course, so that, the firefighters never would have imagined that this was an occupied building.
Yeah.
Having said that, I know there has been various discussions over the years about whether to have a policy or change the policy. And right now, there's a joint committee, a safety committee that includes members of the department and members of the union. And they at least are talking about coming up with some protocols, both about marking abandoned buildings. There's often more than one fire in an abandoned building, of course. And so marking it if it's clearly unsafe. And also maybe coming up with a protocol about just taking some more time as far as the size up or something like that. But, it's not an easy thing to just say, well, these are abandoned, we're not going to go into them. And they're also, of course, fighting the culture of the Detroit Fire Department, which is has a very strong tradition of aggressive interior attack. So they're fighting that tradition also.
Okay. Arson, it's rampant in the city, and obviously the arson unit, again, as you mentioned in the article, has declined as well as the rest of the companies on the street. Can you tell me a little bit about the challenges that the arson unit's having, and trying to make their investigations?
Right. Well, just like you say, the rest of the department, the arson unit has been cut in manpower over the last 20, 30 years. I believe they have 19 investigators these days. And they were only, of all the fires that were suspicious in nature or undetermined, whatever, incendiary, ones that result in, death or injury that they would normally investigate, they prioritize those. Obviously, deaths and injuries rank highest, but they aren't able to get to all the suspicious fires. In fact, I was told that they were able to really investigate only 4 in 10 suspicious fires last year. So there's really no one really knows how many fires total were deliberately set. They do what they can. I think there was about 40 deaths last year, so that's a little less than that's a couple a month. And they keep very busy, and they make a lot of arrests. They make more arrests when I looked at the statistics than I thought they did, but they're really overmatched as far as the amount of work they have to do, just like firefighters. And I'm sure, just like the people in the department who do inspections, I really can't speak at length about that. But the fire department, it's not like anybody has something against the fire department. There aren't enough firefighters in Detroit. There aren't aren't enough police officers. Police response is a very big, poor police response is a very big issue in Detroit. There aren't enough garbage men. There really aren't enough of anything in Detroit because of this long-term financial crisis. And that's not a reflection on the people who are in these departments. It's the fact that they don't have enough colleagues on the job, really, and they don't have, in some cases, the right tools to do the job.
Okay. In your time covering the Detroit Fire Department, I guess, what would be the highest point and the lowest point that you've experienced with, you know, with your coverage of the Fire Department, the Detroit Fire Department?
I guess I would think back about 22 years to 1987 when three Detroit firefighters died in a huge warehouse fire. The warehouse was vacant, and I believe, if I remember correctly, the fire was started by a vagrant who was in there, and I don't remember what his purpose was, whether it was in March. I don't know if he was trying to stay warm or it was more malicious, but nonetheless, it was a vacant warehouse and a huge warehouse. Three of them died. I was assigned to go to one of the emergency hospitals in Detroit where two of the victims were brought, and so I watched what you know, the trauma that families and brother and sister firefighters go through when one of their colleagues dies. But I also watched what was really striking to me. I know people get sad when people die, but I was really struck by the camaraderie and the feeling of family that I saw amongst the firefighters. Men and women, black and white, it didn't matter. They really showed that they were a family. And also their families showed that they were part of a family too. And I guess in some ways that would be both a low point and a high point as far as, you know, watching the way the department functions. But as far as a high point, I guess I would say I have enough experience being at fires and being in some engine houses where I'm continually struck by, even with the odds against them and the work they do, that the firefighters respond like they do. I've never even... there's, you know, obviously when I'm around, they understand a reporter's sitting there with a notebook in his pocket. But I've been in some instances where there was, you know, where I just happened to come across a fire, or even rigs going to a fire where I followed them, and they don't know they're really being watched by anyone who can, you know, publicize it. And I still see the kind of devotion to duty that is quite remarkable, I guess, maybe in this day and age, that never seems to stop as far as, you know, what, even though, you know, what they're given to deal with every day.
Okay. All right, well, I appreciate you joining us today and giving us an inside look at the fire department. I think, you know, on firehouse.com, we do get a good amount of coverage out of there, but again, there's just so much going on in that city, whether it's the crisis with the automobile business or everything else in that city. So, Bill, thank you for joining us again. That's Bill McGraw from the Detroit Free Press. He has written the article in this month's magazine. You can find it on page 70. It's titled Detroit, Tough Times, Tough Town, Tough Firefighters. Bill, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these, or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.